Any others? All right. In that case, I'll ask you to please rise if you're able for our call to worship and remain standing for our praise and worship songs. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord, who works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed, has made known his ways to Moses, God's acts to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord will not always chide, nor harbor anger forever.
The Lord does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is the Lord's steadfast love toward the faithful.
As far as the east is from the west, so far does the Lord remove our transgressions from us.
As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to the faithful.
For the Lord knows our frame and remembers that we are dust.
As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more.
But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon the faithful, and the righteousness of the Lord to the children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments.
In our neighborhood, well, it's not in our neighborhood, about 3 miles that way. Do you know what's good? You know what's happening? We're having a rodeo and a parade several days. Do you guys know what a rodeo is? There are some really brave people at a rodeo. I'm in the spectator seats, eating, screaming, crying sometimes too, depending on what's happening. People riding horses and bulls, cowboys that got their cowboy boots on. Is our prop coming? Here it is. Here it comes. Hi, Briley. Do you have your prop? It is? Oh, there it is. I see it. I'm so glad. So if you can, there's going to be a parade too on Thursday. Thank you very much. Hi, Briley. Can you smile? No? Okay, well, at least you're honest. All right, so what I want to talk about today is this. This is Briley's bag. Do you know what this is? What? A book bag. Good job. What goes inside here? Do you know? What? Name some things that go inside here. Crayons. What else? Cats. I bet the teacher loves that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What? Maybe cats. Maybe. What else? Crayons are better. Crayons are better. Teachers like crayons. Notebooks. What else? What else? Books. What else goes in here? Cats again. Okay. How about like scissors and rulers? How about Kleenexes? Did your teacher ask for Kleenexes? They don't? Really? Wet wipes, great job. So when there's messes in the classroom, all those can fit in here sometimes. This is a really pretty one. This says Hello Kitty. I love it. She has something on here called a backpack tag. Sometimes we have those that have our name on them. Or does your mom or dad maybe write your name on them so you know it's theirs? Sometimes your friends might have the same bag as you do. Probably not what's inside. Might be a little different. Why do we need this to go to school? Because why? Yeah, so you can carry your stuff. So you are prepared. Have you ever heard that word before? Prepared. You've never heard that word before? Okay. Well, prepared is a good word. That means you're ready for anything. Do you know that it would be really good to have a backpack when we learn about Jesus? Did you know that? It is. It's really important. We don't have to carry around something that looks like this. We need to have a Bible, and you need to have your brain so that you can remember things. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is just to do it, right? Hang on, Eliana. Hold on. So you just need to do it. So with a backpack, the teacher says you have to have this, right, to come to school with all your stuff? Well, I'm going to challenge you today that when you learn about Jesus, you got to remember it. Do you know why I say that? Today in Sunday school, I had all the kids tell me they couldn't remember anything they learned in the Bible. I thought Miss Gina was probably going to have a fit if she heard that, because I know she's a good teacher. So it's important that we remember, just like we remember how to do addition, right? Today, Pastor Zach is going to help us pray over some backpacks, because it's important that we know we love you guys, and school is important. And we want you to do the best job you can for your mom and dad and grandma and grandpas. Yes.
I already have a backpack, so I don't need one.
Okay, well, we're not giving Briley's away. She won't like that, trust me. Briley, can I give this back to you? So you have it if it's safe. Thank you for letting me borrow that. It's very pretty. Will you say an echo prayer with me? Ready? Oh, I'm going to do it today. It's my special day, okay? You ready? All right. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you for school.
And when it seems hard,
thank you for helping me. Thank you for my teachers, my bus drivers, the cooks that make our food, and the people that keep my school clean. All of these people make school fun. Thank you very much for being with me at school every day. Amen. Good luck at school, guys. Have a blast.
Our gospel reading is going to cover from Romans 10, verse 5 through 11, verses 36. I'm only going to be reading Romans 10, verse 5 through 15. The rest will be covered in Pastor Zach's sermon. If you would please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. May the Lord add his blessing upon the reading. You may be seated.
Thank you, Dale. It's so great to see you today and to worship with you today. Will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of your Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay. So last week, we heard the good news from Paul's letter to the Romans. And God gave us that word for our church, that our lives are molded by God's mercy. Let's say that together. Our lives are molded by God's mercy. That God is the potter and we are the clay. And who are we as his craftsmanship to condemn ourselves or condemn others? We heard the good news earlier in Romans, and in Romans 8, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. And we've learned that God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the power of God to save everyone who has faith. First for the Jew, and then for the Gentile. For it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And we're learning about what it means to live by faith, aren't we? About what it means to trust God and to trust in his promises of his faithfulness and to put our hope in Jesus Christ, even being willing to suffer, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope, amen? And we know that hope does not disappoint, does it? Because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I was pretty shook up with everything that happened this weekend. As you heard me pray, I have a friend who was in Charlottesville, just moved to Charlottesville, and is a new professor of hip-hop, of all things, at the University of Virginia. And I saw the video. I didn't have to watch the news. I saw the video of what happened this weekend from his view on the street. And on Friday night, this was actually what disturbed me the most. On Friday night, there were Christians and other people from different religions and people from the community of Charlottesville who gathered together for a prayer vigil for peace at St. Paul's Church. And they were gathering together to pray for peace, anticipating what might come on Saturday with the demonstrations. And there was a torch mob of an angry crowd of men who surrounded the church with torches and were armed with weapons and were chanting hateful chants that surrounded the church to where they could not leave the church if they wanted to because it wasn't safe. And so to me, that went beyond politics. That went beyond protests and counter-protests. That was pure hatred. And that was an assault against the kingdom of God itself. That was an assault against you and I, those of us who live to make peace, who choose to love and not to hate, who are called to be blessed, to be peacemakers, and to be meek, who will inherit the earth. So that was what really, it just wounded my soul to hear that. And then to see those videos, and to even see the video of the car going through the crowd. So if I'm not my normal self today with my usual exuberance, that's why. That my heart is grieved. But I was praying this morning and asking, God, I know you've given us a great message this week from Romans, but will you help me to kind of reconcile what some of us might be feeling, whether it's grief or concern or fear? And God's message does, because today's message is that salvation in Christ is for all. Let's say that together. Salvation in Christ is for all. And where before we were molded by the mercy of God, we learn today through later on in the reading that we are only grafted in to Jesus' spiritual family through into the true Israel by God's grace. We're grafted into the true vine by God's grace. And so we heard today just what Dale was reading. And I want us to go back. And can we read that scripture together? Because I feel like out of everything, this is the word from God for us and for our nation. Start with verse 9. Because, let's say this together, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And isn't it good news when we bring peace? You know, the kids have been learning about the armor of God, right, Kathy? Been learning about arming ourselves with the spiritual armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and what? The shoes of the readiness of the gospel of what? Of peace. Of peace. In addition to the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. But the shoes of the gospel of peace. There it is. We just heard it. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And messengers in this time, when they would go, they didn't have the internet. Their internet was the network of letters. That Paul's letters to the different churches in the New Testament, it was like the internet for them. It was like social media for them. It was cutting edge stuff. But a messenger who brought good news maybe would come from the war front and would come to bring news of the victory. And they would be running in their sandals and they would run as fast as they could to get that word back to the people. And they would come and they'd probably be really, really tired. And their feet would be filthy and probably cut up and scarred. But how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. God takes our brokenness and makes us beautiful. That when we're willing to suffer for Christ in hope, we bear that gospel of peace and love. When we choose to say no to hate and yes to forgiveness and to love and to pray for and to bless our enemies and those who persecute us, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen? Amen. But there's that problem. There are some people out there who might think they have heard about Jesus, but they haven't heard the real Jesus. Because there might be some people who are participating in acts of hate this weekend around the world, whether it was in our country or others, that might claim to follow God or follow Jesus, but they're not living like it. Or maybe they've heard a counterfeit gospel. So people need to hear who Jesus really is. Not just to hear, but you need to be sent, and you are sent to go be that gospel, to be that good news by the way that you live, through acts of mercy and compassion. Through being willing to confess your sins one to another and be healed. Through being willing to forgive your enemies and to bless those who persecute you. For willing to take a stand against things like bullying in our schools. You know, what we saw and heard about this weekend with the angry mobs and the crowds and the violence that had to have the National Guard brought in. That was bullying to the nth degree. But it has to start somewhere where people get twisted and get a wrong idea. We have to take a stand and to be people who live the gospel, who don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And in Paul's letter, he's addressing Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians who aren't getting along. And he's come to help them to make peace. And he's saying, I'm coming and I want you guys to get your house in order. I'm coming to see you. But he's addressing their differences. And so Paul proclaims that he's not just a messenger to the Gentiles, but he's also got a burden for his own people, the Jews who had received God's promises. Jesus' spiritual lineage in Israel. And so he addresses, and look at verse 17. So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. He says, but I ask, have they not heard? He's talking about the Jews. And day they have. Their voice has gone to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. Again, I asked, did Israel not understand? First, Moses said, I'll make you jealous of those who aren't a nation, and foolish nation, I'll make you angry. And then Isaiah is bold to say, I've been found by those who did not seek me. That's you and I, Gentiles. And I've been shown myself to those who did not ask for me. See, God has a merciful mission. That's why he sent Jesus to come and save us. Jesus came to seek out and save whom? The lost. The lost. The hurting, the broken, the marginalized, the bullied, the left out, the oppressed. But he says in verse 21, but of Israel, he says, all day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. But yet we know, as we sung today, God is rich in love and slow to anger, isn't he? God does not reject his people. Paul says, by no means. And he goes on to give his credentials. I'm just going to jump down to where he says, do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Kings, and how he pleads with God against his own people. He says, Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have demolished your altars. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. And I think about my friend. He might feel that way. Be feeling abandoned. But what is the divine reply? God says, I have kept for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal, who have not succumbed to the mob mentality or to hate or to idolatry or to hurting the poor. No, he says, so too at the present time is a remnant chosen by grace. It's by grace. Our lives are molded by the mercy of God, but we're grafted into Jesus' family by grace. It's a gift from God. Our status with God as children of God, it's not because of what we do. It's not because of where we live. It's not because of how much money we make. It's not because of our good works. It's only because of Jesus. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Amen. And we know that the wages of sin is death. And all of our striving for good works, it only can lead to death without Christ. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ. Not just pie in the sky life in heaven, disconnected from this world, but heaven coming to earth through Jesus and through his Holy Spirit. Eternal life that begins today. Life for you and I. A life of forgiveness and freedom and reconciliation. A life of healing and hope and faithfulness and perseverance. My Aunt Peggy's here. And Peggy is a cancer survivor. And Peggy is continuing to fight with all of her being, but not so much against the malady of cancer, but against the temptation to give up, against the sin that causes us to be afraid of death, right? That Peggy chooses joy, just like Mark Harris chooses joy. And chooses to trust in her God and to trust in Jesus' power to save us, and that to trust that even if we die, our deaths are not in vain, but we live a life to where our deaths have meaning. Just like when we were at Paul's celebration of life and we heard all the ways that he impacted people and shared the gospel with people, our lives have meaning. Our suffering is with purpose in hope. Amen? Amen. And so Paul's concerned about the Jews and the Gentiles not getting along in this church, and how the Jews have taken the promises of God as for granted, as if it's only for them. And so their hearts were hardened. But Paul goes on in verse 11. He says, have they stumbled so as to fall? By no means, but through their stumbling, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. If their stumbling means riches for the world, and if their defeat means riches for Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now he's speaking to us. He's speaking to the Gentiles. He's saying, inasmuch I'm an apostle or sent to the Gentiles, I glorify my ministry in order to make my own people, that is the Israel, the Jews, jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what would their acceptance be but life from the dead? He says, if part of the dough is offered as first fruits is holy, and the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, and we know that the root is in Christ, then the branches are also holy. But if some of the branches are broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in their place to share the rich root of the olive tree, that is God's promises of the land and of faithfulness and of provision and protection and blessings. Do not boast over their branches. But if you do boast, remember, it's not you that supports the root, but the root that supports you. It's the root that supports us. He says, do not become proud, but stand in awe. Do not become proud, but stand in awe, he says. If God did not spare the natural branches, perhaps he will not spare you. But note the kindness and severity of God. The kindness of God, his love and his mercy and his grace for this world. But God has a severity against sin and hatred. There's a severity that there's still judgment. But Jesus saves us from the consequences of that judgment because he took our consequences, didn't he? Jesus took our place. But think of God's kindness towards you, provided you continue in his kindness. God has the power to graft them in again. That if there are people who are wicked or take the promises of God for granted and try to prop themselves up and say, whether it was the Jews or another group, to say, well, we're better than them because we've got the promises of God and they don't, and elevate themselves and become so full of themselves, then they can't be filled with God's Spirit. We just heard about this in Bible study today, that when we're full of ourselves, we can't be filled with God's Spirit because we're already full of ourselves. But we know that in order to have freedom from sin that leads to death in our lives, to say no to temptation, we need God's Spirit, don't we? Do you need God's Spirit? I need God's Spirit today. God, we need your Spirit. We need your Holy Spirit to help us overcome hate. We need your Holy Spirit to help us to pray for those, even the people that we don't understand or make us upset, God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to know that salvation is for all. God, I pray for the people who were involved in this weekend on all sides. I just pray for forgiveness and healing. I pray that people, if people are doing things that hurt people, that they would stop. That they would see that this is not what life is about. That there's so much more. And this hurt that people experience can only be healed by Jesus. I pray for our church and our community. I pray for an end to bullying, Jesus. I pray that we can be agents of peace by the way that we live. That people can see that we're good news because Jesus lives in our hearts and is in our lives. And that we can take a stand because we know that salvation is for all in Jesus Christ. And we're only saved by your mercy, God, and your grace. So God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I thank you that when I don't know what to say next, your word stands. And your word is in our hearts and near to us. So I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you that salvation is for all? And when you hear those words, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that when you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, do you believe that you're saved? And do you believe that that is true for the people that you don't know that are beyond the walls of this church, for them? Because if you believe that, then we need to know that we are sent. And so Paul asks that question to us. If everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, but how are they to call on one whom they've never heard or not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? But the good news is, how beautiful is the feet of those, you and I, when we bring good news by the way that we live and we share Christ in our words and our deeds. Thanks be to God. Amen. I want to thank you for being here today. I want to thank you for your prayers for our church and for our community. I want to thank you for your ministry empowered by the Holy Spirit and for the ways that you're testifying to the love and the power and the salvation in Jesus Christ at work in you. And that our community is beginning to see that, and I believe this. So I want to thank you. Receive this blessing today. May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace as you trust in him, as you trust in Christ and his perfect love that casts out all fear, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.